You have your Bible tonight. Turn with me. I'm reading Acts, the 27th chapter, the 20th down through the 25th verse. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small temple flow on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not to have loosed from Crete. And to have gained this harm and this loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I serve and whom I belong to." There stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I serve and whom I belong to. Paul knew who he was, and Paul knew who he served. Saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Be of good cheer, for I believe God." That it'll be exactly like the purpose. I want you to see something with me. Those men that sailed on board the ship for 14 days and 14 nights, they hadn't saw the stars nor the moon. Neither had they saw the sun in the daytime. For 14 days and 14 nights, they sailed and died. They'd been without food. They hadn't had a mouth of food in their mouths for 14 days. And the Bible said that all hope was gone that they'd ever be saved. They knew there was only one thing, and that was death. The Bible said that all hope was gone. Here came a man out and stood in the middle of the ship and said, "Sirs, be of good cheer." I imagine somebody said he let that holy roller preacher out. Now to think a man would be so ignorant after 14 days and 14 nights of not seeing the sun by day, nor the moon by night, nor the stars, and then to think that a man would get up in the middle of the boat when we haven't had a mouthful of food in 14 days and say, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." Because he realized we're all going to die, and now he's told us to be of good cheer. But Paul said something else to him. He said, "Be of good cheer, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve. And he told me that nobody on board this ship was going to be lost, that he was going to take care of every one of you. And he said, 'Be of good cheer, for I believe God will do exactly what he said he did.' I don't care if God, I know that if God told me something, he'll do what he said he'd do. I believe he said these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe it. I believe if God said to me, 'Little are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them.' I believe it. I believe God will do what he said he'd do. I believe there's 32,000 promises in this old book. I believe that God will keep every one of them promises. I believe every one of them promises is to man to you. Somebody said Jesus used to heal. Jesus used to be full of pity and compassion. Jesus used to do all those things, but he doesn't do them anymore. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same Jesus as he was back there. He's the same Jesus that turned the water to wine. He's the same Jesus that walked upon the water. He's the same Jesus that raised the dead. And he said, if I did these works, get the works that he do if he believes. And better I believe his life. I believe he'll do exactly what he said he did. Coming down on the elevator from the hospital in Dallas. After going up there praying for a woman that was sick. And on the way down, when we come to about the sixth floor, two people stepped on the elevator. The woman's face was twisted with sorrow. She turned to the man and said, he said there was nothing more he could do. The man said, surely there's something else he can do. He said, what about x-ray treatment? She said, he told me that he'd give me all the x-ray treatment that he could give me. Any more x-ray treatments would mean my life anyway. He said, what about going back to Hoxie Cancer Clinic? She said, you know, the last time we were there, they said they'd done all they could do. She said, there's no hope, said the cancer's eating in, and said, the doctor said within a few days' time, I would have a major hemorrhage and hemorrhage to death. Standing on that elevator going down, God said, pray for her. But I didn't even ask her if she wanted to be prayed for or tell her nothing. I just jumped over there where she was and said, I believe God. She looked at me. I raised my hand and put it on her head. Her husband raised his hand to knock my hand off because he thought I was some kind of an idiot or something, apparently. But when he raised his hand to knock my hand off, God just throws his hand in the air. And I laid my hands on that woman's head and prayed. And I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, take this cancer out. God, I command it to be so according to thy word. Help to Jesus, I believe you. By that time, the door had opened. It was an automatic elevator. Nobody was on the elevator but me and her and him. His hand was down to his side, and they stepped outside the elevator. She started walking down the hall, and as she walked, I noticed she began to do this. Finally, I was a bit, and she turned around to her husband, and she said, it's God. He said, you're what? It couldn't be God. She said, it is God. He said, feel. And he felt. By notice, he said, step over in this corner. He reached her hand into his skirt and began to feel for that cancer. That man turned around with tears rolling down his cheeks, and he said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. What is your name? What doctor are you? I said, I'm not a doctor. I said, I didn't hear. Don't tell me it's Dr. Jesus who laid his hand about her. Dr. Jesus healed her. He said, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And he said, could we give you something? Is there anything we could do for you? I said, not a thing in the world. God told me to do it, and I said, I believe God will do exactly what he said he'd do. Brother, I believe when God tells you to do something, if you'll do what God tells you to do, you'll do exactly what he said he'd do. Hallelujah! God spoke to you, think he's about in his word? Trouble us people in Pentecost today are running around saying, oh, if it be the Lord's will. If it just be the Lord's will. Now you'll hear a block without one sentence in any other thing. Get something straight in your mind tonight. It's God's will to heal every one of his children. It's not God's will for a person in this tent to suffer. Somebody said, oh, now wait a minute, I'm suffering for the glory of God. God gave me this old test and I'm suffering for his glory. Why don't you pray for 50 of them? You'll have 50 times as much glory. If you're suffering for the glory of God, what are you running to the doctor for? If you're suffering for the glory of God, what are you taking all them pills for? If you're suffering for the glory of God, what suffering for the glory of God. Jesus suffered with them for our body. And Jesus suffered that you might be healed in your body. Be thy will. If it be thy will. Is his will. It's his will to heal every rupture, every tumor, every cancer, every blind eye, every crippled person. Come on, you will like what I'm going to say, but how many want me to preach the truth? Get ready, for here it comes, honey. Hold on to your seat. God's going to heal his whole church before he comes back after us. Somebody said, I thought these big healing meetings were fading out. They are. Out all over the world. And those that are fighting them are dying as dead as a doornail. And those that are taking God and his word, their churches are flourishing and growing. Hallelujah! Somebody said, can you give me Bible that God's going to heal his whole church? You know I can. Give me your Israelites left Egyptian bondage. You tried to transport a city of 2 million a day, you'd have to get every wheelchair, every crutch, every ambulance, and everything else to get them out of town. But the Bible said 2 million Israelites were out of Egypt afoot and the back of the Red Sea. And God left the rivers back and took the Israelites with 2 foot. Glory to God! And the Bible said there wasn't even a feeble among them. Woo! Somebody said, John, that scripture, yeah! Jesus is coming after us! Tumor infested, cross-eyed, cancer, lung blood, tumor church. Not. He's coming after us. Glorious church. He's coming after us. Glorious church. With us fast and with and rigor. Did you hear what I said? I said he's coming after a glorious church without sorrow, without wrinkle. Brother, that old cancer's a wrinkle. That old tumor's a spot. Them old blind eyes are a wrinkle. God never made anybody sick. The devil made you sick. The devil put that cancer on you. Thank God when he comes again, he's going to put all the lips of the devil under his feet. And he's not coming after a sick church, but he's coming after a royal church. The power of God seeking the rest of Jesus Christ. What's the matter with some of you dry eyes? He won't hurt you if he does. I'll preach your funeral for nothing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I get so sick and tired of preachers standing up in the pulpit. And so now, folks, we got to hold the faithful few together. You know, there wasn't very many cities in Noah's day. Only 8 people. Then just a few in Lot's day. And I'll tell you what, Christ still find faith on the earth when he comes again. I believe we'll just do good to hold our little handful together. Brother, you will. You won't even hold a handful you got together. Amen. I said amen. This thing's going to get so powerful you're not even going to know who prayed for you. God's going to come down in these services and anoint people in your churches to pray the prayer of faith. And they're just going to jump up and lay hands on people. They're going to be healed and they're not even going to know who prayed for them. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We run around and beg God. Somebody said, well, Brother Coo, I don't want to ask for anything that isn't God's will. We're not beggars. We're children of the King. I said we're children of the King. What you need to do is find out who you are. People go around now, please, Jesus, please, Lord. Now, oh, God, don't let me have one of them terrible headaches like I'm going to have tonight. Oh, God, help this BC I'm taking to work. Oh, God. My God. Oh, Lord, I feel one of them spells coming on. My God, I'm having one of them nervous conniptions. You know why you're having a nervous conniption? Because you don't know who you are. Some people are scared to death of the devil because you don't know who you are. Did you know that the Bible said you're heirs and joint heirs? Did you know my big brother died and gave me half of everything he had? Somebody said, now look out. You look out. The Bible said, now we have become the sons of God. Oh, somebody said that's talking about the rapture. Then we're going to be sons of God. Now bless your heart, honey, the day you got saved, you become a son of God. You got a blood transfusion. These are not old Jack Cole's hands, these are Jesus' hands. Woo! These are not Jack Cole's feet, they're Jesus' feet. That's not Jack Cole's heart that's pumping the blood through my veins. It's the blood of Jesus running through my veins. I was born the first time to George Cole in Oklahoma City. But thank God when I got born again, I was born to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God became my father, and I became his son. Now you have become the sons of God. Somebody said glorified sons of God. We're not glorified yet, but we will be. But we are sons of God. I said we are sons of God. The Bible said we're heirs and joint heirs. If a millionaire died and left you a dollar, you'd be an heir. But bless God, if he died and left you a joint heir, you'd be entitled to half of everything he had. And the Bible said we're heirs and joint heirs. Come on, quit looking down your nose. You get up in the Sunday school class and teach the little kids to sing, God is my father, Jesus is my brother. The blessed Holy Spirit is my guide. If you don't believe Jesus is your brother and God's your father, you quit teaching it to those little kids. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he be also, and greater works that me shall he do. Some of us, I don't believe anybody could do it. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. Are you with me? So how many argue with this right there? I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You believe it? You don't believe it? If you don't believe it, why don't you go home and cut it out of the Bible? It's in there. I believe God's raising up spiritual giants to work the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God if this thing can't be done with the approval of all the churches, it'll be done without. Hallelujah. I said God's going to do it without. Hallelujah. God can't do it through preachers like myself and preachers like these that are sitting on the platform. If necessary, he'll raise up stones to do it. Bless God, no bunch of rocks is going to do my praising. I'm going to praise him myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Great is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He's greater in the cross. He's greater in blind eyes. He's greater in old crippled back. He's greater in old paralyzed legs. You talk about being afraid of the devil, right? The devil has to come and ask me what he can do. I give him his orders every morning. Amen. Devil comes around and says, Jack Cole, can I do anything to you today? I say, you devil, get out of here. I ain't befooling you today. I ain't going to talk to you. Somebody said, oh, you can't do that. Sure I can. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Somebody said, aren't you afraid of a nervous breakdown? Well, I've got something greater than a nervous breakdown. Aren't you afraid of a cancer? Well, I've got something greater than a cancer within me. A cancer can't come near me. I just went to the Lazarette over in the Bahama Islands where the people are dying with leprosy. Going up the road, great big signs is isolated, keep out. Contagious disease. Preacher asked me, he said, surely, you're not going on up in there. I said, surely I am. But he said, you'll catch that. I said, oh no, I won't, I'm immune to it. Well, he said, they don't have any antitoxin for leprosy. I said, oh yes, they do. He said, what is it? I said, the Bible said, a host of angels. Protecting from leprosy and camp around about them that feel the wrath. He said, you can go, but I'm not going. I said, get out, I'm going. But I went in there and laid hands on him and prayed for him and saw him healed by the power of God. Saw him saved. Hallelujah. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the life. I started a meeting down in Winston-Salem. North Carolina. And I said, you talk about the devil fights. I never went to a meeting that the devil didn't fight. If I had a revival, some of these good little old church social meetings, the devil won't give you no fight, but you get up and preach the truth and the devil's gonna fight you. Get ready for it. God said they were. Man, I had a fight. This one here in town's minor to what I've had other places. These are just little bitty devils, but I've stayed up other places in great big ones. Amen. I got in that meeting and it seemed like everything went wrong. I come out, the city tormenting me, and here the city's been wonderful to me. The lights wouldn't go on, the electricity wouldn't work, the PA system went on the blink, and it just seemed like everything. Started out with about 200 people in the great big old pit like this. Or maybe less. And I got up and preached that night, and I have to admit, I began to get discouraged. And I said, oh God, it looks like that I could have the victory over something. And I began to get in the flesh and began to feel sorry for Jack Cook. And I thought, I'll cut the meeting short tonight until I get things fixed up. I cut it short and went out and stood out on the light truck in the back of the tent and buried my head in my hands and was bemoaning the thing. While I sit there, some little girl walked up and she said, is the great Jack Cole here? And I looked up and I said, what'd you say? She said, is the great Jack Cole here? She said, you know, the one that can open the eyes of the blind and make cripples walk. There she stood on two crutches with braces down both legs. She said, I tried to get Mama and Daddy to bring me, but they wouldn't bring me until I finally talked him into it and said, "Ladies," and she said, "I'm a PA." She said, "Oh, it's a great job, coach out." I said, "Honey, tell me all that again. I want to hear you." She said, "You know, the great job, coach. That's what I'm looking for." She said, "I want him to pray and ask Jesus to heal me." I said, "Honey, you're not too late." But I was almost too late. But I reached out and I laid my hands on her little head and prayed for her, and the power of God struck her and she dropped the crutches. Then she turned and she looked at me and said, "Can I sit down and take the braces off now?" And I said, "Yes." And she started to sit down on that truck fender and I said, "Don't sit there, honey." I said, "Sit over here." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I was sitting there a few minutes ago and there was a fellow sitting in my lap just tormenting me. And I said, I want you to sit down in his lap and take them braces off and torment him." Hallelujah! 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 That little thing sat down there about 12 years old and took them braces off and jumped up and grabbed them braces in her hands with them crutches and started running through the car saying, "Mama, Daddy, I'm not too late, I'm not too late. I found him, I'm not too late. I told you to hear me. I told you to hear me. I told you to hear me." Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I said, "Greater is he." I said, "Greater is he." Standing in Birmingham, Alabama, praying for the sick. Had a long healing line, and they come with a woman with one man under each arm carrying her. Skinny and frail, and her stomach swollen with an old cancer. She got right up to me. I looked at those men and I said, "Turn her loose." They said, "She can't stand up." I said, "Turn her loose." They turned her loose. My wife was sitting praying for the sick with me. But I doubled up my fist and I said, "You devil, I command you to go." And I smoked that old cancer with my fist right in her stomach. She bent over, doubled up, and started to fall. The devil said, "Now you've done it." And I looked at my wife, and her face was as white as my shirt. She said, "Oh, honey." I said, "Oh, honey, nothing." So I reached down there and grabbed that woman when she was halfway down by the hair of her hair and pulled her back up again. I said, "You devil," and I hit her again. Second time, she bent over just a little bit, and I said, "Uh-oh, devil, you happened to go. Because somebody greater than you's come, and you can't stand it. When he comes in, you've got to go out. You can't stay when he walks in." And I pulled her back up again by the hair of her hair and hit her the third time. And the third time, that old cancer disappeared. Don't feel embarrassed. Her skirt dropped off. When her stomach went down, her skirt just fell off. Still, she had on a lot more clothes than most people in Birmingham I saw on the street. That woman shouted all over that place, praising and magnifying God. God completely delivered her of that old cancer. The God I serve can do anything if you'll just step out in faith and believe him. I said, "Believe him." I said, "Believe him." Greater is he! Greater is he! Somebody said, "You're bragging." Sure, I'm bragging. He's in me. He's worth bragging about. He's worth hollering about. He's worth worrying about. He's not aware of somewhere. He's in me tonight. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you take something else pretty strong? Huh? Come on, you know about this. You preachers, listen to me. If you're born again, you got God's heart, you got Christ's blood, and not only that, but you got God's thoughts. He said, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Did he say it? Come on now, get ready, this is a good one. God gave us 9 gifts of the Spirit so we could talk like God, think like God, and act like God. Here it is. Talk like God, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Are you with me? Think like God, wisdom, discernment, knowledge. Are you with me? Act like God, healing, faith, and miracle. Hallelujah! The apostle is the Holy Ghost. We think like God. We act like God. We talk like God. No wonder our relatives can't understand. Hallelujah. No wonder he said, you are gods and the scriptures cannot be broken. He said that. You believe that's in the word? You don't believe it's 100 up, it's in there. You are gods and the scriptures cannot be broken. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not a beggar. I'm a child of the King. Man is crazy, he's a fool. He gave me the keys. I don't have to walk up anymore and beg. Some people go up and knock and say, Lord, if you can hear me, please open the door. Lord, I don't want to seem overbearing. Lord, please, God, just a little weak me. That's all here. Just a little weak me. Could you peek out through the door and do something for poor little me? Poor little me will never get nothing because you're like the waves of the sea. And the Bible said, don't you expect anything. Bless God, if you're a son of God, you can walk up to the doors and knock on the gates. And the angel will say, who's out there? For a son of God. Through the power of the Holy Ghost and bought by the blood of Jesus. The angel will say, what blood have you got? So I've got the keys. If you don't unlock the door, I'll open them myself. Get out of the way, angels. I'm coming through. Hallelujah. 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 You can walk right through the gates and walk right up to the throne and look Jesus in the face and say, God, it's not because I've done anything, but you died and gave it to me, and I want it. And he said, if you ask anything in my name, you'll get it. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. I hope I ain't preaching over your head. Maybe I should have went back and preached something simple. But this is the word of God. You can have it tonight. I said you can have it tonight. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Have you got him in your hands tonight? Is he in your heart tonight? All you have to do is begin to command him what to do and you'll do it. Do you believe it? Say amen. Raise your hands and just say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Come on, make a love to him. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.